Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Shesh Heina Sonei Hashem, Sheva Tevas Nafshu. There are 6 things that Hashem hates, and the seventh, or 7 other things, are the abomination of Hashem's soul, of his neshama. Now, we're not going to go over this again, but basically, according to one interpretation, the seven things are what we've learned yesterday. We learned yesterday a total of 6/7. It all depends on how we break up the pasuk. We break up the pasuk. Pasuk Yidal the Tapuchos Velibo Choresh Rab Choleis. Is that considered 1 or 2? If we break it up into 2, then we have a grand total of 7. So that would then mean that we have a total of 7 things. And the last, number 7, is the ultimate abomination, and that is midayonim yishalech, a person that provokes, that makes trouble, a person who causes other people to quarrel among themselves. We know, the Medrash actually says here in this pasuk, it ties into the Mabul. In the Mabul, why was did Hashem destroy the world? But in the Dor HaFloga, this expansion, Mamish coming out of this expansion, both the Mabul and the Dor HaFloga, the Mabul Hashem destroyed the world. The Dor HaFloga, Hashem did not destroy the world. Hashem just dispersed. The answer is because with the Dor HaMabul, there was Hamas, there was violence, there was Gezel, there was discord. People did not get along with one another. Therefore, Hashem destroyed the world. Whereas the Dor HaFloga, the Hoya, the whole world was Safa Achas, one language. Everyone got along very well. The only problem was they got along too well. They wanted to rebel against Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy the world. He just dispersed them. So that really comes out of this pasuk over here, that there are 6 things that Hashem hates, but the 7th thing is an abomination, is a Te'eva. And a Te'eva is a very powerful word, Te'eva. Torah only uses the word Te'eva by certain types of arayos. And it's a very, very powerful word. And not only are we saying, not only is the word powerful, it connects to Kadosh Baruch Hu's neshama. We have no concept what that means. We don't even have an understanding what our neshama is all about. Halachas kam v'kama, when it's used in reference to Hashem's neshama, we have no understanding. But one thing we do learn here is that this idea of midayonim yeshaleach, a person that is instrumental in bringing about strife, a gossip monger, person that causes people to not to get along with one another, they are people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Hashem's soul abhors, Tevas Navsho. And the Chazal applied this specifically to Doyek HaAdomi. What did Doyek HaAdomi do? He told, Doyek HaAdomi was jealous of David, of David. David was more successful. So Doyek went and he made machlekes between Shaul and David. Incitement. Shaul and David were not so far apart. If someone, there would have been the right person, would have been on the scene, there would have been reconciliation. Shaul was a holy person. It's just that he realized that Hashem, because of his chatoim, because of his sins, of not listening to Shmuel, Shmuel told him to wait. Shaul committed a few sins, not to go into all the details, not that I know them too well either, but he did not wait for Shmuel, and later he did not kill Agag. And due to his own sins, Hashem decided that his malchus has to come to an end. So Shaul was a holy person. He would have accepted that. So why then did he have such an intense hatred for David? It's only because there was another individual that incited him, and that is Doyek HaAdomi. Had there been another person who appeared on the scene at that point in time, he could have brought peace between the two, and nothing would have happened. But what did Doyek do? He told Shaul that Achimelech, he was the Kohen Gadol, was assisting, and the Kohanim Noiv, Irak Kohanim, were assisting David in rebelling against Shaul. No such thing. That was a total lie. It was no such thing. He incited Shaul, and that brought about the death of the entire city Noiv Irak Lehanim, and that also brought about that David was punished, according to one interpretation of Chazal. That's one of the reasons why David was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, because David was also instrumental in the death of Noiv Ir HaKohanim, because David, even though David was not actively part, but he was still instrumental, and that sin also caused Shaul to die. Shaul died in the Muhammad with the Pelishtim. He died because of that, and David, because of that sin, he lost his chelik in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So David inside the machlokes between David and Shaul, and the consequence, the ramifications are enormous, are infinite. What happened to all of the parties involved? David, Shaul, and Doeg himself, and Noiv, the Noiv, Ira Kehanim, all the Kehanim, and the consequences, and this is what it says, Hashem says, Mamish, that's the bus, Toyavas Navsha, that whole episode was something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Neshama viewed as an abomination. Okay, now that's one interpretation. Now we have another interpretation that tells us that the Shesh Hena, Sonei Hashem, is not referring to the past, the previous Pesukim, but rather we're going to focus on the future, on the following things that we're going to enumerate as we go through the next Pesukim. Let's right away run into the Pesukim. What are they? Pasuk Yitzayin. Let's run through all the seven things. Einayim Ramos, arrogant eyes. A person lifts up his eyes very high to think that he's superior to others. Lashon Shoker, person's tongue speaks falsehood. The Yadayim Shevchay Stam Naki, hands that spill innocent blood. Leiv Chayresh Machshavos Aven, a heart that thinks. Chayresh means to plow. Plowing is always used in the use. The second time we had this in Mishnah where it's used is borrowed to mean to think thoughts of evil. Raglayim, feet, Me Maharois Lodutz Lara, which run to do evil. Pasuk Yates.
Churning.
It's churning. He has no rest. We had that a few programs ago where a person, a rasha, doesn't go to sleep. If he has not done an evil deed, he can't go to sleep. He has no menuchas and nevish until he causes other people to suffer. Yafiach kizavim eid shaker. Pasuk Yates. Yafiach means to blow, but here it's borrowed to mean to speak. By Yipach Be'apov Nishmas Chaim, last week's parsha, Hashem blew into the nostrils of Adam a breath of life. The Targum by Yehi HaAdam LeNefesh Chaya, man was a living creature. The Targum Unkelus translates this to mean that man was a speaking creature. The blowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resulted in man having the Koyach Hadibur. So we use that term here as well. Yafiach Kezav Me'et Shaker. This evil man, he speaks lies. He speaks lies as a false witness. He comes to court and he testifies falsely. That is the nature of this evil man who HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. And now we come to number seven. Number seven is Umishaleach Midonim Bein Achim. A person, Midonim means quarrels, from the word of din, judgment, quarreling. He brings about, he incites quarrels between brothers. So we have here a grand total of seven, and according to one of the multiple interpretations, the first six HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, but the seventh is the worst of the worst. In order to cause hatred between brothers, one thing to cause quarreling, this version is even more intense than the previous version, because here it's Bein Achim. Brothers are meant to be at peace with one another. Brothers are not meant to quarrel. Back in Pasuk Gedal it says, Midoyonim Yishaleach. A person is evil who incites other people to quarrel. But here it's worst, but here it says, Midonim Bein Achim, among brothers. Brothers come from the same womb, they grew up together, and when they fight, that is even worse. That is worse than the average quarrel. Family quarrels are always much worse than quarreling that takes place among others, because you have a much greater expectation. I once heard Rabbi Tauber, Israel Tauber, give a whole hour he spent on this idea. He says that he deals a lot in marriage counseling, and he says there's no hatred like the hatred between a man and a woman. Why? He says there are people that are fighting over money, they're fighting over everything covered, everything, even politics. But when a husband and wife come to him for marriage counseling, the hatred is unreal. Why? It's because once upon a time the love between them was very great. And when there's love, there's great expectations, there's great investment. When you love another person, you invest in them. And then when things don't work out the way you expect, zel umazel, it boomerangs, it backfires. The same extreme one has in love, intensity one has in love, if it does not work out, will backfire and turn into hate. And that's why the Metzius is, there's something called Shalom Bayis issues. That's why, it's all because of the expectations. And the same is true when it comes to brothers. A person has much greater expectations of a brother than he has of a stranger. A person is in an ace time, a difficult time, who do you go to? You first go to your relatives. I need a loan. I need some help. And why do you go to your relatives? Why don't you go to a stranger? Because you don't have such great expectations of strangers, but of your relatives you have much greater expectations. And when they betray you, or when you are misled to believe something is not true because of this Russia who has brought about strife between brothers, the hatred is intense. And the person that is responsible for this is extremely guilty, and it is upon this person, the Pasuk says, he is the seventh one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views as the ultimate abomination. Now, what I told you is the Pshat. We're going to read the Metzudos and Rashi in a few moments, that Pshat, but I just came across this morning in the Me'iri. I saw this in the art scroll. I was glancing through the art scroll Mishlei, Leza Ginsberg, and he quotes a Me'iri, an amazing Me'iri, that says that when it says the seventh is the Toyavas Hashem, it is referring to the first. In other words, who told you that the order is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? The way you have to read is 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And number, the one that is Te'avas Hashem is Gaiva. And indeed, there are many Mamar Chazal that the thing that Kodesh Baruch Hu hates the most that support this idea, Gaiva is the worst of the worst. The Sheva, number 7, that is Ta'avas Nafsho, is number 1. A Nayim Ramos, a person that is an arrogant person. That is the source of all a person's problems, Gaiva. Okay, now let's take a look at the Mitzvot, all these Pesukim, Pasuk Yedzayin, the Mitzvot, Einayim Ramos, Zeh, HaMisko'er, an arrogant person, HaMerim, Einov, Klapimal, he lifts up his eyes upwards, Leikdech, Shifalei Ruach, Asher Yashpilo, Einayim, Lahastaka, Klapimata, it's a muscle, people that are humble, they look down, people that are arrogant are always looking up. Pasuk Yedches, Leiv, Choresh, a person's heart is churning, he's plowing, HaMefane, Levova, Lachshav, Machshav, the person, he turns away his heart from other matters in order to think machshavas oven, to think about sin, lorutz lara lasois b'mehiros, to do evil swiftly ad lo yisnachem, before he changes his mind. He has an idea. You don't want to miss an opportunity to cause someone else trouble. Yafiach, this evil man, he blows. What does it mean to blow? Ratzalema, the Mitzudas apologizes on behalf of the pasuk. He really means to say Ratzalema eight sheker midaber. Yafiach means to speak, kizavim, lies. The achas he, it's one concept. This whole expression, yafiach kizavim eit shaker, is one theme, one of the six. And then the last of the seven, what?
It's like bellows.
To bellow? Vayipach ba'apov. Hashem blew. Okay, it's the same idea. The bellows, okay.
It's also okay. Like fanning.
Feeling the fires of Machlokes. Okay, he's feeling the fires of Machlokes. It's exciting to watch everyone fight. Bein achim, bein oyavim, yigore Machlokes b'sipur lashon hara. Among people that once upon a time loved each other, he incites dispute by speaking lashon hara. V'hi hashivis. The Mitzvah makes it very clear. He's not learning like the Me'iri. That number 7 is the one who incites quarrels. Parsha Mikulam. Why? Why is this the worst? So he's quoting from the Gemara. Ki bezeh horik shloisha. The Chavetz Chaim says probably only about 1,000 times. So the Chavetz Chaim, Aloshnar is the worst because when a person does a sin, who are you hurting when you do it in Aveira? You're hurting yourself. You're not hurting anyone other than yourself. A person doesn't want to do a mitzvah, he doesn't want to take the dalad minim, doesn't want to have the schus of being mekayim the mitzvah of taking a lulav and esrog, you're hurting yourself. Not hurting anyone, no one's going to suffer. Person doesn't want to put on tefillin, he's only hurting himself. Person, if it does not there, let's say he does a nichshol and arayas, okay, so maybe you're also hurting. But generally, averos are localized to the one that commits the aver. But when it comes to lashon hara, the damage is widespread. There's collateral damage. Ki bezehorik shloisha es atzmo himself v'hamakabla the one that listens v'hanemar lov and the subject of the lashon hara. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi quickly. Rashi pasuk. Going back to pasuk, let's see, Tezayin Shesh Heinash Sani Hashem Shevatayvas Nafsho Kloima Gam Hashvis Imohem. So Rashi was making a point. Good morning, Mr. Zigelbaum. Rashi is making this point over here that number seven, that item number seven in the list, it's not six and seven. Okay, we discussed this yesterday because there is one approach. We're not going to go through all the details again, but one approach is that the six, what were the items enumerated yesterday, starting with Pasuk Yud Beis. Starting with Pasuk Yud Beis, we had six items. We had the Ish Belial, we had the Ish Aben Hoylech Ikshus Peh, Koyreitz Be'enov, Moilo Baraglov, Marbi Yetz Be'oisov, Tapuchois Belibay Chorish Rabachol Eis, Mid Yonim Yeshalayach. We can count those as six. And now, Vesheva, we're now going to list seven in the following Sukkim for a grand total of 13. Rashi, for whatever reason, did not follow that pattern. Rashi says, Vesheva, Hashviyas Imohem, there are a grand total of seven. Don't start looking for bar mitzvah boys here. There's no 13, there's only seven. Six, and number seven is in part of the list. Okay, number, Pasuk Yates, Yafiach Lashem Dibur Hu, Ki Kol Dibur Baruch HaPehu, all Dibur comes through the wind of the mouth. Pasuk, okay, that's it. Now, there is another interpretation. I don't remember who says this, but some want to say that the six and that what it says here in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the six or seven things that we enumerate, parallel, it's a very simple interpretation, parallels everything that we've said in the previous Pesukim. In other words, it's not in perfect order, but look at the first thing, Einayim Ramos, eyes that are exalted, Gaiva, what is that parallel? That parallels Pasuk Yud Gimel. Koreitz be'enaf, to wink with your eye. Okay, next, Lashon Shaker, that parallels, it's not good, it's not in order, Ikshus Peh, that's number two. Number three, Yadayim Shevchois Dom Naki, Moire be'etz be'oisaf. Okay, so far three for three. Leiv Choresh Machshavois Oven, that clearly parallels Tahapuchos Beliboy. Next, Araglayim Mamarois Larutz Lura. That is Pasuk Yud Gimel Moilel Baraglov. Okay, Mamarois. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches Yofiach Kizavim Eid Shaker. Speak this. That. We already said Ikshus Peh. So that was maybe Choresh. That's clearly the last one. I think that parallels. What do we leave out? That parallels. I think maybe Choresh Rab B'chol Eis. Seemingly, that's what it means. Choresh Rab. We didn't count that. Ish Avinai, we didn't count that. So maybe in this interpretation you have to count that. Okay, everything is subject to interpretation in Hanami. We put it in one order, but you maybe have to play around with it. That was six. And seven is the easiest. That couldn't be easier. That's Umishalech Midonim Bein Achim. Okay, Bein Achim clearly refers to Mid Yonim Yeshaleach. That's the last one. So really there are seven for seven. You can match up the 7 year with the seven, so that's why it's
7 for 7.
Well, there are different ways to count. Here there are clearly seven. Here in this pasuk, here starting with pasuk Yud Zayin, we have seven. No one's coming to disagree with that. Einayim Ramos, Lushon Sheker, Yudam Shefchos Tamnaki, Leiv Charish Machshos Oven, Raglaim Maharos Larutz Lara, Yefiach Zam Sheker, and Mishlech Midonim Benachem. It's clearly seven. The question was before in the previous pasukim, are there six or are there seven? There are different ways to break up the words. But if you will, let's assume that we'll break up before in seven groups. Either you'll have to say start earlier, Adam Belial Ish Aven. Maybe that will be the first one, and then we'll keep together Tapuchos Belibu Charish Rab Choleis. That will keep together as one. That will bring us to a total of seven. We have seven before the Sheish and seven after. Each one parallels. Each one is connected. The other one is the Midos, which basically what it means is that if a person is not trained, the pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Daled, focus more on a person's midos, a person's inner yearnings, and in the pesukim after the shesh hena are the ramifications, are the outgrowth. If a person, when he's a child, is not trained not to do these things, not to be an ish belial, to be parikol is not necessarily an action. It's a way of life. Don't tell me what to do. Child goes around telling people, I'm my own person, I don't have to be disciplined. Belial is parikol, and he does whatever he wants. That conduct, that attitude in one's youth will result in what it says afterwards, will result in which one do we match up? Match up to that. Yodayim Shevchay Stamnaki. Whatever it was, that will match up one of the things. And furthermore, if a person winks with his eyes, that represents the nida, a bad nida. The roots of gaiva can be found in a person's youth if they are not treated and they're not dealt with. It will result into something that will become much greater. And pasuk Yud Zayin, einayim ramos. The wink with an eye, it's just a little wink. That little wink will turn into eyes that are very widely open all the way up high. Just pointing with your finger, mara be'etzba oisaf, pointing with your finger will ultimately result into yodayim shevchos damnaki. And same thing for everything else. These seven parallel, the seven before, parallel the seven after, the midos result in serious matters. Okay, now I'm not going to go through this because this is a little bit too difficult. You have to know a lot of psukim, but there are many midrashim which take all of these seven things and they apply to a very specific type of sin. One of the examples is a sota, a woman who is mezana, and indeed that is really going to be the theme of the later the psuk by the end of this parak is zinus. So some, instead of using these psukim as a general description of a person that does averos, we focus specifically on a woman, a zona, a woman that causes men to be nichshol in gilui arayos. What is her midos? Her midos are, now this is the nature of the midrashim, where they quote from psukim from all over Tanakh to support their thesis of this idea. For example, this medrash appears in Bamidbar Rabbah, in the parsha, I guess, Parshas Noso, the parsha of Sota. If you want to know the essence of the Sota, the medrash says, go to Mishle, Perek Vav, and here we will define for you the 6/7 midos that are characteristic of a Sota, and you'll know how not to be a Sota. And it starts off, just to start off, Shiva Elu Shiva Dvarim Basota Heim Amurim. For example, Einayim Ramos, a Sota, her eyes are uplifted. What does that mean? She looks at other men. This is a famous pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya. Yan gavu b'nai siyoin v'atelachna nituyos goroin u'mesakros enoyim. Because the B'nai Siyoin, one of the things that Yeshaya criticized Klal Yisrael during time of the Chumbay Yisrael, why they sing was because there was a proliferation of zonos, and these zonos walked the streets, and they winked their eyes at all of the men to hint to them that they should come be mezana with them. And it quotes this pasuk. Okay, then it goes on. Okay, I don't know all these psukim, the quotes from all of...
Version,
yeah.
Brought down from Tantum, but without the psukim.
Yeah.
So,
for the sota, okay. Okay, then the Gemara, yeah.
The behavior.
These are all things, right? Now, then the Gemara, and then there's another medrash which says that all of these seven midos refer specifically to Esav Harasha. Each one of these things we can find the pasuk in Chumash Bereishis that. These are the seven midos of Esav. I'm going to start off. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos Oimer, this comes from the Yalkut Shmoini. Kulam be Esav hein amuros. For example, Einayim Ramos. He had uplifted eyes. Vayisa eina vayar es hanoshim. When Yaakov in Parshas Vayishlach met Esav, when he was returning home after 22 years of working for Lavan, he returned home. Esav lifted up his eyes and he saw the Nashim. And he asked, who are all these Nashim? Okay, Lashon Sheker, he was a Tzayid Befiv. Okay, you can't do better than that. Raglayim Imaros, Sherotz, now this he doesn't quote a pasuk for. He's seen not everything works out perfectly. Sherotz Achar Yaakov Lahargo, Ke Yadayim Shefra Stamnaki, Ki Oyefanochi, I'm tired. That refers to. Okay, I'm not going to go into all details, but basically we take this seven sukkim. Right, so I just want to point out that these are other ideas that we apply to this pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Let's move forward. Pasek Chof Nitzar Bini Mitzvah Savichav Yalti Titosh Torasi Mecha. Now we had this pasek before. Shmabini Musar Avichav Yalti Titosh Torasi Mecha. Here it says not the Musar, but the Mitzvah Savichav, and not abandon the Torasi Mecha. A different focus. Pasek Chof Nitzudos Mitzvah Savichav Ki Haloi Bevadei Chof Etzbita Kanoscha. Listen to the commandment of your father. Similarly, as Shlomo is speaking to his children, or David is saying this, and David is speaking, and David, Shlomo is quoting his father. Listen to the commandment of your father, not abandon the Torah of your mother. Torah simecha, mashehi milamedecha, what your mother teaches you. What does Rashi say? Pasachav, that sabini mitzvah sadicha. There really is no Rashi, just a Dibra Maskel. Maybe something is missing. It's very strange. The Rashi just had a Dibra Maskel and should not have any comment. Okay, we know that sometimes not everything in Rashi is the way it was originally written. But there are multiple midrashim. What is the mitzvah of your father? What is the law of your mother? So some say this refers to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebichsav is the mitzvah savicha, and the Torah Shebal Peh refers to the Torah of Imech. Imech comes from the notion of aim. Aim also means your nation. It means the traditions, the heritage that we have received, that Klal Yisrael has received from one generation to the other generation. Another interpretation is I don't remember who says this. Mitzvahs Avicha refers to the Torah. Torah Simecha refers to, get a load of this, the stories of the Torah. Okay, you ever divide? We're very familiar with dividing the Torah into Tarshe Bechsav, Tarshe Balpeh. We can divide the first four sections of the Torah, and then there's Mishnah Torah. But you can talk about the world before the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the world before Matan Torah, the world after Matan Torah. But this is a whole new idea. And maybe I think the Ralbach, if I'm not mistaken, the Ralbach says this, that it refers to you can take the entire Torah and you can divide into two parts. The commandments, Tayag Mitzvos, and then there are stories,
narratives,
and the narratives don't have any mitzvos.
Except that it's a stretch to say that Torah has anything to do with narratives.
Torah is instruction. What a Torah is the most, probably the most abused term in the Hebrew dictionary.
Think of the first Rashi.
Yeah.
Should have started with the first mitzvah of the Torah.
Yeah.
Torah being a book of mitzvahs.
Commandments. Lahoya Torah, that's how Rashi used the word. But the way Rashi used the word is not necessarily the way it's used in Tanakh. We know that. Lashon Torah Luchud, Lashon Chacham Luchud, Lashon Nevi'im Luchud. Everyone, the words are used differently by different groups of people. But according to this approach, it's a very interesting idea. You can take every single thing in the Torah and divide it into two parts. It's either a commandment or it's a narrative. And what's the narrative? The narrative is Musar. It really is. It's a Musar Haskel. It's a Derech Midos, and it's a way to live. All right, I know I'm forgetting something, but I don't remember. So we'll have to just go. We'll have to go forward. Okay, here it is. There is one other interesting medrash. The medrash Tanchuma takes this pasuk and applies it to the mitzvah of hafroshas truma. Okay, I'll read you what it says. Mahu medrash parshas re'eh. Aser ta aser. The Kriya Satara for Shmini Atzeres, where we have just laid. It says here, Amar Avhuna Avos Harishonim, Avos Harishonim, Avos Harishonim, Hifrishu Trumos to Maestres. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were Mafish Trumos to Maestres. Avraham, we know, Harimaisi Yadi El Hashem. That was in reference to Malki Tzedek. After the Muhammad of the Four and the Five Kings, Avraham was Mafris Truma to Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Harimaisi, I lift up Yadi. Okay. Then we come to Yitzchak. Vayimtza Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi mea sha'arim. Vayimtza ba'shan ahi mea sha'arim. And there it says 100 measures, and it says divayitin le'maser mikol. So it says the Yitzchak also. Why does it say there that he found 100? With the purpose of telling us how many measures of grain he found, it was only for the purpose of separating truma and meiser. Yaakov Avinu, how do we know? V'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. The Medrash concludes v'zehu. That's what it says. Nitzar bini mitzvas avicha. So in this context, according to the Medrash, Avicha refers specifically to the Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the mitzvah that we're referring to specifically is the mitzvah of giving truma and maaser, which in the big picture of things means giving tzedakah. Supporting the Kohanim, the people that guide Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Koshrem Aleph Libucha, Samid. Tie them on your heart continuously. On deim al gargiroisecha. On deim is also, it means the same thing. I don't know the difference. The Mitzudot Tzion says, Inyun kishira. He quotes a pasuk from Eiv, where there it means that I have tied it as a crown. Andenu atarosli, I have tied these things as a crown. I forgot what the context was, but it means there to tie. Let's see, Rashi, pasuk chaf aleph, andem loshem kesher hu kumo, andenu atarosli, the same pasuk. There's a ghost opening up the door. No, they're working on the door there. What? The window? No, there's someone there. Yeah, no. There's someone there opening the door. I tied it on the why did Sylvia Al Gagura sechta on your throat? So I saw in the art scroll, it means that it refers to speaking in Divrei Torah. There are two types of tying. There's tying on your heart, meaning that you shall think, you shall meditate, you shall think in Torah, your emotions shall be drawn towards Torah, but you shall also tie it on your throat. Meaning, you shall speak. It shall be the topic of conversation. Instead of speaking politics, you should always speak Divrei Torah. This shall be, the throat refers to Divrei Torah. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Beis is a very, very famous pasuk. Behis halechecha tanche oisach Torah will lead you when you walk with it. Behis halechecha, when you walk, tanche oisach, it will lead you, it will guide you in the proper direction. Beshachbecha, when you lie down at night, tishmar lecha, it will guard you. And when you awake in the morning, it will be the topic of your conversation. It will speak. It will speak on your behalf. It will speak to you. Now, what does this mean? So there are many layers of interpretation. First,
we say this at a Hadron.
We say that we quote this pasuk. Exactly. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So there are many layers of interpretation. Let's first see the pshat. The mitzvah, the mishus learns pshat. This means, it means no one's dying here. Don't get scared. There's no mention of that. We're talking over the derech hachayin pasuk habeis. Tanche osach tenahig oscha b'derech hayasha. It will guide you in the proper way of life. Tishma lecha mishoydidei laila. When a person goes to sleep at night, he does not need to worry that he will be harmed by the demons, or he'll be harmed by robbers. He has the zechus of Torah, will be megan. Like Lel Shimurim, every night will be a Lel, just like the night of Pesach is a Lel Shimurim. You don't have to say Kriya Shema Lamita. Every single night, a person will not need to worry. The zechus of Torah will be megan upon a person. Okay, that's the difference between learning Torah and doing a mitzvah. We're going to have that contrast coming up very soon. When a person, the Gemara said, when a person does a mitzvah is also megan, also protects a person. When a person learns Torah, the Torah protects. What is the difference between the two? The shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. But that's only when you're actually involved in doing the mitzvah. When you're doing the mitzvah, there is a special hashkacha, Hashem protects you not to be harmed. But after the mitzvah is over, the mitzvah has concluded, you have returned from your trip, then you can be a shliach mitzvah. It can take years to do a mitzvah. But when the mitzvah is over, very good, the reward is stored away for the next world. No longer does that mitzvah protect you in this world. But the zechus of Talmud Torah, the zechus of learning Torah, being absorbed in Torah, not only does it protect one when he's actually learning, even when he finishes learning and he's not involved, it will protect him. That's what it's over here in this pasuk, that when a person is sleeping, he's not learning Torah at that moment in time, he's not conscious, yet the Torah protects him. So when a person awakes, the mitzudos concludes, he sisichecha, what to daber imcha ke chover toif hamadabim chavero lehishtasheh imo. It will keep you busy. Person will never get bored. A person has accumulated Torah in his lifetime. When he wakes up in the morning, he will have what to occupy himself with, a good friend. Instead of going to a street corner and looking for trouble, he will be able to go to the kollel, and he will have a delightful experience in studying the Torah. So according to the Mesudos, this entire pasuk, we say we hear this pasuk very often. Baruch Hashem, you go to Siyum very often, and you hear this pasuk. According to the Mesudos, the pshat means in a person's lifetime, when he is awake in life, it will give him a derech in life. When he goes to sleep, he will be protected. He doesn't have to worry about all of the things that are happening out there in the world. You know, listen to the news, even listen to the radio. It's frightening. All of these diseases and all these medications and all of these advertisements. You could have a nervous breakdown just listening to the advertisements of what what's going on out there in the world. So it says here, if a person learns Torah,
the side effects.
So, person learns Torah. You have to have emuna. You have to have emuna that the zuchus of Torah is megan. Person will not come to these things. Yeah.
Not to ask a question that seems abikorsish
for this. Chas v'shalom.
But what about all those people who are Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, who terrible tragedies befell?
Yoif, that's safe for Yoif. Everyone here. Everyone. Baruch, look what we have accomplished. Look at what we have accomplished. Everyone has spontaneously said yes, so you saw.
What about the Holocaust?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. We have to have emuna. We have to have emuna. We don't know the answers. We don't know the answers. But there is something too. Just because this is the very difficult thing. Just because there is obviously tzaddik v'ralo, and we all know that to be so true. But yet we still have an obligation to have emuna. To have emuna that Torah is megan. These two things have to be balanced. They have to be both accepted. Now, obviously, that's a very great struggle, but that is what our duty in this world is, to have both them together. Okay, there we have. Okay, this is.
It says that tzaddik v'ralo.
Yeah.
The same life that he has in this world. In the next coming world, he's not the same life.
I don't know. No one ever came back to tell us what happens there. Who says that? What are you saying?
I saw it.
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. You have to live with emuna. Sadik be'emunaso yichya. Bo Chavakuk vehemid malachas. Chavakuk, the end of Masech de Mako, says there are tarjag mitzvos. It's too difficult to focus on every single one to be an expert. The only thing you have to focus on, Chavakuk, this is from the Nevi'im, this goes back more than 2,000 years. Almost 3,000 years. Just
he's
live. Tzadik be'munasa yichya. Okay, let's go further. Rashi has a very different approach. Now, there are many layers. Now, there's something very profound I once came across in this mahalach. Rashi really quoting from Medrash. There are different nuances in what Rashi is about to say. B'salechecha tancha. B'chazlecha Rashi says, B'chayecha tancha oisach. K'mo tanhigcha. It will guide you. When your person is alive, a person that is steeped in Torah, Mr. Glatter is here today. Mr. Glatter's favorite concept is Das Torah. Right? A person that is steeped in Torah will automatically have a derech of life. One of the most abused concepts of this generation. Das Torah. Whatever that means, I have no idea. But it means something. It basically, what?
Supposedly,
it's a negative. Okay, but the way it's used today.
Das Torah means you don't have to say it.
Okay, but the truth is that this concept, which we've been thrown upon us of Das Torah, is rooted in these words, in this pasuk, "Behisalechecha tanche osach." That is Das Torah. That's whatever they're trying to tell you. Das Torah, somehow it's connected to this concept. When you walk with Torah, it will guide you. When you have to make a decision that doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch what to do, should I take this job? I have two opportunities. I can take a job, this job, or I can take this job. Should I become a doctor? Should I become a lawyer? What should I do? Which school should I go to? I'm accepted to two medical schools. I'm accepted to two law schools. Which one should I go? So you go to the Rav. Why are you going to the Rav? I mean, people don't go to the Rav, but let's say a person would go to, I'm going with my rabbi. What does your rabbi know about medical school? What does he know about law school? So there are people that believe that being that the rabbi is heavily steeped in Torah, his answer, his machshava, his thought will shed light on what is a better approach that a ben Torah should take in regard to making what appears to be an otherwise mundane decision. Behisalechecha, when you walk with Torah, it will guide you in decisions that are not necessarily written in Shulchan Aruch, giving you guidance what to do. It's a very deep idea, it's a very powerful idea, and it's a very dangerous idea, obviously. It's an extremely dangerous idea, and it's a powerful idea, and has to be not abused. Okay, the next part of Rashi is b'shachbucha, when the person lies down. So here Rashi is jumping to the Medrash b'kever. And Rashi, this word is a very powerful word because I'm going to show you another approach. That's not exactly what it says in the Medrash. And Rashi is over here is giving us an interpretation to the Medrash. And Rashi is telling us again, we don't know what happens, but when a person is no longer living, we have this emuna. This pasuk tells us that the zuchus of Torah protects a person when he is no longer alive. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? Bekever, what happens to the neshama when a person dies? We don't exactly know how things work, but there is something called a mitzius of the neshama in being in the kever. I guess that means before he comes to Olam Haba, before Tchiyas Meisim, at Tchiyas Meisim, whatever this means, during that kuf of kever, whatever it is, Torah is negin. To be zoche to merit chiyas hameisim. Okay, he sisichecha tolitz. Now, what happens at the time of chiyas hameisim? So Rashi here says tolitz ba'adcha. It will serve as your advocate. The Torah will come forward and testify before the Ribbono Shel Olam that this neshama is deserving of chiyas hameisim. A person needs the Zechus Torah in order to merit Tchiyas HaMeisim. That is what it says. Now let me read the words of the Gemara. It's not a, it's a Medrash also, but it's also a Gemara Masechta Sota on Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara, they ask a question, Mahu Behisalecha, Mahu Beshachmecha, what do these words mean? The Gemara says, Ela Behisalechacha Tanich Oysach Zeh Oilam HaZeh. Okay, this little, this is this world. Then when it says, Beshachmecha Tishmar Olecha, it says zomisa. This is death. Now Rashi substituted the word zomisa with the kever. Okay. And then when it says vakitzaisa hisasichacha, so the Gemara says leosilavo. Rashi substituted losilavo. Probably Rashi is probably basing this upon a medrash, not even upon a. Okay, there are different. Mishnah Perikavos. It's a Mishnah where there indeed it says the word kever. There in the Mishnah, it actually quotes as possible. It says there, "Besalecha tancha isach ba'olam hazeh, b'shach b'cha tishmalecha ba'kever, v'akitzais sehisisecha la'olam haba."
Which perik?
Perikavos, Perikvav, Mishnah Tes, the end of Perikavos. So there it does say bekever, but in the Gemara Masechta Sot it says zo misa, and then it talks about laasalavo. Rashi here talks about a zechus v'tchias hameisim, and you need the Torah to be your advocate, which appears to be an elaboration upon this idea, or maybe Rashi is taking this from another medrash or another source. Okay, but the idea I once came across is something a little bit different, that B'shach b'cha literally doesn't mean what you can learn it. You can translate the word two ways. When you are lying down, when the individual is in a state of sleep, means during death, or it can be a verb. When you go to lie down, b'shach b'cha, when a person goes to lie down. And now what that means is a very frightening idea is that if a person lives a life of Torah, he will be able to deal with death. In other words, we are familiar that there are people that have wonderful lives. They live a good life, and they're successful. And then Rachmana Litzlan, if they're not well, and they're coming towards their own end, or Rachmana Litzlan, Loyaleinu, if a family member or a friend is not well, and his end is near, they can't deal with it. They freeze. They disappear. They're gone. They have a good friend. I have a friend. You know, he has an issue, and a lot of my classmates. You know, we came together to discuss this issue that's taking place, and like someone said to me, someone remarked to me, it's like amazing how everyone has a whole different attitude towards this issue, towards this health, person has a health issue. Everyone, all of the chaverim, some people are very emotional, they're very involved, and they're very caring, and there are some people that are just not to be found. And like, these are like good people. There are some people that are, you know, in between or here and there. Everyone has a different strategy, a different approach in dealing with end of life. So what it says here in this pasuk, don't read the pasuk like Rashi, like the simple shot is, Torah is megin when, after it's over. The person already is buried. He's in the ground. The kever. Oh, He's in another world, Torah is Megan. That's one shot. But the deeper level, if a person lives his entire life in the ways of Torah, he studies Torah, then when Darkei Shel Olam, when a person reaches 120, or when a family member reaches the age of 120, and Darkei Shel Olam is now, it's time to depart, the person who's brought up in a Torahic way will deal with it in a responsible and dignified way, and not become a coward, not be a baby, or not be kairis, chas v'shalom, or do bizarre and strange things that don't make any sense. I remember my father used to tell me, my father used to do a lot of levayas. My father used to tell me that when he dealt with family members who lost someone, like some people, he went together with one of the children of the nifter to the cemetery. To bury to the, and like they told me, the guy was just making jokes. The whole thing was one big joke to the person that his relative died. And on the other hand, there are people that are
coping mechanism.
No, that's exactly the point. But that's not right. See, that's the problem. That's what it's saying. That's not the proper way. And then there are people that are I saw myself. They hover over the casket and they say, "I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you," and they're totally
emotional.
They're totally lost. That's also an extreme, right? What is the right? Everyone is different. You know, you can't judge. Chas v'shalom. Every single person is different. But a person needs a derech. A derech in this tkufa, and that's what the pasuk here is telling a person. B'shachbucha. When a person reaches this matzav, when he's still alive, but he's now in the process of b'shachbucha. If you were zocha to be raised in the ways of Torah, tishmar alecha. It will guard you. It will keep you in check. You won't go to the extremes or to places that you don't want to be in this matzav. You'll be dignified and you'll be responsible and will be derech kavod. And then v'akitzaisa, he's tesichacha. This refers to tchias amesim olam haba. In the next world, a person will come back with Torah.
It's pretty sure that he's going to advise us to go to the law and regulation of the Torah. Why himself he rebelled and lo tikan hashim kesev zav lo yar belo v'zev v'zev he did big mistake himself.
I don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah. All right, you can't.
That's why his malchus was split up.
Okay, you can't. Okay, yeah, you're asking. It's a topic. This is a topic in and of itself for another time. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk.
How about a different interpretation?
Yeah. B'shachbucha,
kumecha,
melechcha
v'derech.
Ah, b'shachbucha, keuv kumecha,
v'akitzaisa. And
b'shachbucha
is
v'derech. Kriyashma. Okay, very good. Okay, enachnami. Kabbalas omalchus shemayim. Kabbalas omalchus shemayim is something which you shall. I didn't see anyone actually say that on the page, but it obviously makes quite a bit of sense. Absolutely. Okay, one last medrash tanchum before we go to the next famous pasuk is this pasuk is starshin specifically in reference to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was mekayim the Torah in these three matzavim in life. What are the three matzavim? Ze Yaakov she Isaac betar kishayotza, and he went when he left his father. But let me just go. B'shachbucha tishmolecha emosai vayikach me'avne hamokoyim bayosem mirashoisa vayishka b'mokoyim ahu. Beginning of Parashas Vayetze, Yaakov in he lied down. Chazal say he did not sleep for 14 years. How is that possible? I do not know. But he did not sleep for 14 years, and he lied down on the stone, and all of the stones, what? Lots of coffee, and all the stones miraculously converted into one stone. By Yishkav b'mokoyim ahu. That was again the Medrash telling us a very powerful lesson. Don't think, I think what the Medrash is trying to do, at least one shot, is don't think that lying down was a break from his learning. He spent 14 years learning in Beis Medrash of Shein the Yever. And now, it's recess. So what do you do recess? You go out and play. Recess, I'm going to go take a nap. Take a break. No, that's a mistake. When Yaakov went to sleep, his sleep, He was thinking and learning. He was dreaming about Divrei Torah. He was making deposits. What's the purpose of Bechlal? What's the purpose of sleep? It's a very strange thing. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man when he needs to sleep? Is it true all creatures sleep? Not every living creature in this world sleeps? Is that true? Yeah? Every creature?
Yeah.
Okay. Hashem doesn't sleep. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. So the question is, but isn't Adam b'tzelem Elokim? Every characteristic that is found by man can be found by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is it that we find back HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael, but the essence of man must sleep. Man, that's a mitzvah. Man has to sleep. A person makes a net that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. It's a lie, because it's humanly impossible to go more than 3 days without sleeping. But isn't Adam b'tzelem Elokim? So the answer is that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, true, Hashem never sleeps, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't put into this world Hester upon him. That's what you have. Balayla hahu nadida shenas hamelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol made himself as if he was sleeping. He was hiding himself.
Perception,
but it's not a real thing. Okay, yeah, but it's an idea. But when Yaakov Avinu went to sleep, the Medrash tells that when Yaakov Avinu, when he went to sleep, it was begeder b'shach b'cha tishmor lecha. Okay, next.
Hashem can do that we can't do.
What?
Things Hashem can do with it.
Yeah, but even though there is a relationship, of course, Hashem is infinite. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in His image, which means that there has to be some degree of parallel. At least symbolically. Hashem is infinite. Hashem is Kol Yochel, no question about it. But Adam is B'Tselem Elokim. Doesn't that mean that every midah that we have, Hashem has the yad, Hashem has the regel, Hashem is yoshev, Hashem is oimed, Hashem...
My achorai...
The way we can relate to it.
Our limited understanding.
Okay.
We imitate, but we are able to imitate.
Okay.
We are limited.
Okay, now let's go to the next thing. V'hakitzoy sechis sechecha, v'yikatz Yaakov, he woke up. V'yikatz Yaakov mishnaso. Achein, he said, Achein yesh Hashem, v'mokim hazev, v'nochi lo yodati. And b'salechecha, I guess, refers to the Benjamin system. He was running for 14 years. The 14 years that he was traveling, from the time that he departed from his parents in Eretz Canaan, of Yitzchak and Rivka, on his way to Lavan in Aram Naharayim. So that was b'hisalechecha tanche Oisach, when he traveled, when he distanced himself towards his parents because of their command to avoid Esav. Tanche Oisach, the Torah guarded him when he went to study in the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Aver. When he lied down that night after 14 years, that was the lying down of Torah. And when he woke up, it was the waking up of Achein Yesh Hashem Amokay Mazev Yanochi Lo Yodati. It was also an awakening of Torah. Okay, let's quickly go just touch upon Pasuk.
He did the Lashon here, Kishay Yotzami, based on it, below Hanich. I think is how it said. He never put it aside.
He never put aside the Torah.
It's a play on Tanche.
Okay, Tanche of I see. Putting aside is to. Okay, he never put aside Torah. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. This pasuk appears sometimes on top of the Parochas in the Beis HaKnesses. Right? I know in Tar Vidas, on the top of the Parochas, they have this pasuk in big, big letters. Ki ner mitzvah. The Torah are. Ner, a mitzvah is compared to a ner. Torah is compared to or. The derech chayim toichos musar, and the way of life is only comes through a rebuke. Toichos, the rebukes of chastisement. A rebuke of refinement, of discipline. Okay, now before we go, let's just see the mitzvahs first. Okay, we'll have to do the Rashi tomorrow because we're out of time. Let's just do the mitzvahs. I want to mention one quick idea. Kiner mitzvah, ha-mitzvah, sh'adam oisa me'iru lo kiner. A mitzvah that a person does enlightens him like a ner. V'haloi me Torah, a person who learns Torah, he lo ki'or hayom. So the mitzvahs right away says that when you compare one to the other, Torah is greater. the study of Torah is compared to a daylight, whereas during the mitzvah is compared to candlelight. Now, I want to make a point in a moment. But a person who listens to Musr, to rebukes of Musr, that is a way of life to which brings life. Life, what kind of life? Life in this world and life in the next world as well, which we'll discuss in the Medrash in a moment. Okay, now there are a few important ideas before we go into the Rashi, which we'll do tomorrow, and the Midrashim. One idea is from the Gra. It's a beautiful idea from the Gra. The Gra says, a ner, there are two different types of light. There is natural light from the sun, and then there is light that is man-made, fire, candlelight. Candlelight needs the elements of the earth for it to appear. Person needs a receptacle, a ner. You need a wick, a psila, a shemen, and you have to strike two stones together to create a spark. You got to put all of this together in order to produce what we call a ner. Or the sun rises. I don't have to do anything. It's not dependent upon anything that exists in this world. So the Gra explains, Torah, the study of Torah, is purely spiritual. It comes from another world. When you learn a Daf Gemara, you are borrowing from Or. Or is basically natural sunlight. Natural sunlight has traveled... How many miles is the sun from the earth? I don't know.
93 million.
That's it?
That's it.
93 million. 93 million.
Reach out and touch
the moon. Miles you can get.
So the moon is only 210,000.
93 million miles. It is something that is spiritual. It's not from this world. Torah is Or. It's purely spiritual. A mitzvah. To take a lulav and esrog, to put on a pair of tefillin, to go into a sukkah, to put up a mezuzah, to wear tzitzis, kosher meat. These are things that we take from the earth. We take products of the earth. We take circumstances that exist on this physical, mundane land, and we take opportunities, and we make a bracha, and we sanctify it by doing commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this earth. That's compared to a ner. The light of a candle is purely man-made. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, obviously, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world the force of physics in order that all these things shall happen, but it's up to us. It's up to us to scratch together two rocks to make that spark, and then to take some oil and put it in a receptacle and take a psila and put everything together to produce some light. That is what the Pasuk says. It is illumination, but it's an illumination that depends upon you. It's something which you can fashion from this world. It's kiner mitzvah. Torah is our. Torah is something which is purely spiritual. Okay, that's the beautiful idea from the Gra. Another quick idea is bedikas chametz. When are we mekayim the mitzvah bedikas chametz? At night. Or la'arba osar boitkemes achametz l'or haner. Why do we do it at night? Why don't we do it during daylight? The zman of achila is not osar until chatzos. You're allowed to eat chametz minatoyra until chatzos. Wouldn't it be a good idea to go and do bedikas chametz 9 o'clock in the morning when the sun is shining? You don't need any electricity. You don't need any candles. You don't have to worry about anything. The answer is, the Gemara says, there's something about or haner that's even greater than. Sunlight. Sunlight is very nice and good, but when you want to focus, contrast, when you have so daylight, you can see everything. You can see all the problems. But when you want to focus on one very specific corner, on one specific item, one spot, there is an advantage of it being completely dark and just using a flashlight, a ner, to illuminate one little area. That is a greater form of illumination than had it been daylight. So many people, we have this idea points, brings out, don't minimize the mitzvah. Unfortunately, many people get the wrong idea. Oh, there's doing a mitzvah. Very nice. Take a little of an esrog. Then there's learning a daf gemara. So you know what? Doing mitzvahs is bittul Torah. I'm not going to do chesed. I'm not going to do mitzvahs. I'm just going to sit and learn. I'll sit and learn. I sit and learn Torah, so I'm exempt. I'm potter from doing chesed. I'm potter from all the mitzvahs of the Torah. You're making a big mistake. It's taka true that learning Torah, there's nothing greater than learning Torah. Torah is megan even at the time when you're not doing a mitzvah. And Torah is or it's daylight, the whole world is illuminated. But don't forget that the light that comes from a ner in one respect is even greater. And that idea is illustrated clearly in the halacha of Bedikas Chametz. We bedavka search when you want to focus, you want to really see what's going on in this world to see if you have in your possession chametz, you need the or haner. That's going to do the trick. That's a much more precise, a much greater intensity of light than the natural daylight. So when you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing something that you cannot accomplish if you would have been learning Torah. So a person should not minimize the koyach, the milus of learning Torah. Okay, the last, yeah?
Just a question about the sequence of the words.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be for whatever an alias to say ki mitzvah ner v'sara or? Why is it?
You could ask that many times. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. That's a grammatical question, and you don't really know. Okay, there are more things, but we'll pick up on this more tomorrow.